Why did God give us gospel privileges in our life? Think about that. Think about your election. Think about your redemption. Think about your justification. Think about your sanctification. Think about your adoption. Think about your preservation by Christ and by the power of His Holy Spirit. Think about your glorification, the fact that one day you will be glorified in heaven. Think about all these privileges and riches that you have in Christ Jesus. And just ask this question, why all these riches? Why all these privileges? Why did God, through His Son Jesus Christ, invested all these spiritual benefits in your life? Pastor Peter has been taking you through the book of Ephesians. And one of the things that Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians is the fact that we have been elected, the fact that we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, adopted by the power of the Holy Spirit, is so that we would be conformed to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's for God's glory. It is also for us to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, which is, you see, our spiritual fruit. And the parable before us teaches us this important lesson. Jesus told the parable in relation to His conversation with the people. The people came to Him and they referred to the people who had been killed in the temple. And they asked Him, why did this happen? And Jesus knew their heart. And He told them, I know why you are asking this question. You think these people were more sinners than you. You think the reason why they died in a terrible way, because they are terrible sinners. But Jesus told them, but I tell you, even you, if you don't repent, you will perish. Two times Jesus told them, if you don't have a fruit of repentance in your life, you will perish. And then comes the parable. In the parable, you, the people of God, learn this important lesson. Gospel privileges meant for gospel fruit. There was this owner of a vineyard. He planted a fig tree. He planted it. He watered it. He cultivated it. He took a trip, came back after 3 years looking for a fruit. And there was none, no fruit in the fig tree. And this morning, by God's grace, I would like to show you that gospel privileges meant for gospel fruit in 3 points that we see in this parable. The first one is the expectation of the owner. And the second one is the judgment of the owner on his own fig tree. And the third point is the plea of the vine dresser on behalf of the fig tree. So let's consider the first point, the expectation of the owner. In verse 6, the parable tells us this. A man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. You see, it's natural for a person who plants a plant, who plants a tree, and he does all kinds of work, you know, hard work to make sure that the plant gets all the materials that it needs to grow. And for the owner to come back to his own plant, to his own tree, and expect fruit. It's very natural for a person who plants a tree to expect fruit from his tree. And this owner, this man who planted this fig tree, as it is natural for anyone, he came back to his tree looking for fruit, and there was no fruit. And that should remind you the picture of the nation Israel that we have read in Isaiah chapter 5. But the one thing that you need to understand about this fig tree is the owner loved the tree, the owner cared for the tree, the owner provided all the supplies, the materials that the plant needed in order the plant to grow. And it was the same with Israel. Let me remind you what God did for them. He delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians. Often we think God delivered them from a bondage in Egypt. Was it a political freedom? No, God delivered them from the false gods in Egypt, so that they will be delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, and that they worship the true and the living God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The deliverance was a spiritual deliverance. He delivered them from the bondage of Pharaoh, but he also delivered them so that they will be delivered and worship the holy, true, and living God. He brought them back to Jerusalem. He gave them the law of God. He established a temple for them in Jerusalem. He gave them priests, religious teachers who would teach them the will of God and the way of the Lord. They were fed. They were instructed. They were planted in the temple. In fact, the psalmist describes their deliverance in this way in Psalm 80, verse 8 and 9. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You see, you removed their enemies away from them. You planted the nation in a good soil, not wild soil, but in a good soil. In Jerusalem, in the temple, you cleared the ground for it, and it took deep root and filled the land. That's what God did for the people of Israel. Delivered them, planted them in a good soil. But he came back seeking for a fruit from Israel. And there was no fruit. Instead, they bear fruit. They return fruit to God. What they produced was a wild grapes. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. If you abide in me, where I planted you, where I put you as your God, as your owner, and then you bear much fruit. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 7:16, you will recognize them by their fruit. How do you know that the plant, the fig tree of God, is bearing fruit? By their fruit you will recognize them. Not by their songs, not by their prayers, not by their fellowship, not by their, you know, the power of their preaching. No! By their fruit, you will recognize them. Bearing fruit. After receiving gospel privileges is very important for our Heavenly Father. Very important for the owner of the fig tree. He comes back to you, the people of God, every Sunday through the preaching of the Word of God, through the pastoral prayer, through the reading of the Scriptures, to seek for fruits. Not only to bless you, but also to make sure that you are growing, to make sure that you are bearing fruit for the owner. The pastor is not your owner. The elders are not your owner. They don't own you. God owns you. And God owned you by His blood. And He gave you, as a plant, He gave you all the privileges of the gospel through the preaching of the word of God, through the sacrament. And the owner came and he looked for fruit and there was no fruit. And we should turn this, you see, back to us. And let me ask you this. For how many Sundays have you worshipped God in the house of the Lord? Think about your privileges, the fact that you have been born in a Christian home. And your parents have been instructing you by the word of God. They sang for you. They explained the gospel to you. They encouraged you to love Jesus and Christ's righteousness in the family worship. Every Sunday you come to the house of the Lord and the pastor stands in the pulpit and feeds you with the word of God. Administer the Lord's Supper as your spiritual nourishment. You read spiritual books that would help you to understand the teaching of the word of God. You fellowship with one another every Wednesday. You pray together corporately as a church. You encourage one another. The question is, are all these things helping you to bear fruit for the owner? You see, these are gospel privileges. Do you know God didn't give these privileges to many, many people in this world? There are people in this world without these privileges, but you are with all these privileges. Would you bear fruit or neglect His privileges and the benefits that you have in Christ Jesus and just live the way that you are living? If Jesus would come to you today looking for fruit, would He find fruit in your life? And the second thing you see that the owner does is this, the judgment of the owner on the fig tree. He came seeking for a fruit, there was no fruit, and this is what he did. Verse 7, and he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? You see, a vine tree usually starts bearing fruit after 3 years. And the owner was so gracious. The owner was so loving. He gave enough time to this fig tree. Notice carefully, you see, he came seeking for fruit, and there was no fruit, but the amount of time that he gave to the fig tree to bear fruit was more than enough. But there was no fruit. And comes the judgment. Two important lessons for us. Yes, unbelievers will be judged. Those who are outside of the church of Jesus Christ, those who doesn't believe in the existence of God, those who are unbelievers, they will be judged. There will be judgment for unbelievers unless they repent. But the judgment of God will begin in the house of the Lord. Listen to the Apostle Peter. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. This is terrifying the people of God. Why is God starting His judgment with His own house? You see, this judgment is not taking place outside of the vineyard. It's taking place in the vineyard. The church. His bride. Why? Because there is hypocrisy in the church of Jesus Christ. There is false confession in the church of Jesus Christ. There is outwardly confession and life in the church of Jesus Christ. People seem attached to the vine, but they are false branches. You see, the parable doesn't suggest that God will fail his promise and the elect will be perishing. No, that's not what the parable is saying. What the parable is saying is you can't pretend as if you are attached with the vine being in the vine of God. God honors his name. And God purifies his church. And the second lesson is this. The tree, the plant, which does not bear fruit, will be cut off by the axe of the owner. In John 15, verse 6, Jesus said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into fire, and what? Burned. Simply because they are not true branches. I will come and remove them from around the vine. You see, they are beside the vine, but they are not attached with the vine, with Jesus Christ. You see, in union with Christ by faith. So I will come and remove them, and they will be thrown into fire, and they will be burned. There will be final judgment, and they will be burned, and there will be divine retribution. They will be thrown, they will be removed from around the vine. It could be by death, my friends. It could be by providential hindrances in your life. If you don't repent and come back to the Lord in repentance and by faith, if you are not a true believer, if you are confessing Christ only outwardly, but you are not living the Christian life truly and for the glory of God, you are in danger of being removed from around the vine. The people of God, sometimes we presume on our election too much. And we neglect our Christian duty of bearing fruit. One theologian one time said this, man's responsibility must not be overemphasized to the neglect of God's sovereignty. And God's sovereignty must not be overemphasized to the neglect of man's responsibility. Which means you have a responsibility as a child of God to obey the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. To bear fruit for God. You see, this owner came to his plant and there was no fruit. And what he decided was to cut off the tree. I don't need this tree. It should not take any place in my vineyard. So if you are living in a false confession, if you don't mean what you say about your Christian life, it's like you taking a place in the vineyard. And God forbid, the owner might remove you from where you are unless you repent. Jesus told the people, unless you repent, you will also be perished. Repent. And thirdly, the owner told the vine dresser, cut it off. I don't need this plant in my vineyard. And what you see, my friends, is the plea of the vineyard, the vine dresser, on behalf of the fig tree. And he said, one more year. Give it one more year for me to continue working on it. Notice, it did not take a lot of time for the vine dresser to persuade the owner. The owner listened to the vine dresser. And this is a wonderful picture of your great high priest, Jesus Christ. The only mediator between God and man. You see what the vine dresser is doing? One more year. Let me work on your plant. Let me call this plant to repentance again. Let me remind this plant that you have extended its life. My friends, let me ask you this. Do you view every new day that you receive in your life, every day, you wake up in the morning and you see this new bright day being added upon your life. Do you say to your life, well, this is another opportunity for me to repent? You see, remember a disease came into your life and you were not dead. You survived. A car accident where God preserved your life. Like our family here. But they are alive. You are alive. Do you see this as an opportunity? God is extending your life so that you would repent. You would bear a fruit of repentance. But this is a wonderful picture of Christ. In Luke 22:31, Jesus told Peter this, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demands to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." I prayed for you, Peter. I have interceded for you. You are in my prayers. My friends, let me encourage you. Sometimes you might wonder that no one is praying for you. Sometimes you might say, I'm not sure if my brothers and sisters in Christ are praying for you. I'm not sure whether they like me anymore. I don't think anyone likes me. I don't think anyone is praying for me. The great high priest is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is interceding on your behalf so that your life will be extended. God would give you more years so that you would examine your own life and repent and bear fruit for God's kingdom. Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God, those who come to God. You see, by the drawing of the Holy Spirit, in repentance, by faith, anyone who comes near to God, you have this assurance from the Lord. Those who draw near to God, through him, through Christ, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This is your high priest, and he told his father one more year. You know, he's not only your high priest, he's also your servant. Because he said, in verse 8, he said this, and he answered, "Sir, Let it be alone this year also." Now listen to this. "Until I dig around it and put on a manure. Then if it should not bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." You see, he's also a servant. He's saying, let me work on this plant. Let me feed this plant. And the reason why God has given you ministers of the gospel, teachers of the Word of God, my friends, is for this purpose. They are your servants on behalf of Christ. To dig in your life. You see, he said, let me dig in. Let me influence this plant, this person, by my power, by my spirit, so that they might repent. He did not say, just give it one more year to grow itself. You see, this is not, my friends, this is not legalism. The message of the Word of God that you are hearing this morning is not calling you for self-righteousness. Bear fruit by your own strength. That's not the message here. That's the reason why, you see, the vine dresser said, let me work on it. The vineyard is the doing of the owner. And the fig tree is the work. The growth of the fig tree is the work of the servant. You see, Paul said, I can do nothing without Christ who gives me the strength. And Jesus said, you cannot bear fruit without me. By his word and spirit, you see, he enables you to bear fruit for his kingdom. But remember, you have a very limited time, because the vine dresser said this. But unless the vine dresser said this in verse 9, then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. You see, your life is limited. There will be a time will come where the owner and the vine dresser will be in one accord. And it will be a judgment day. The vine dresser is not going to intercede on your behalf because it's over. This is your opportunity. Because the vine dresser said, then you cut it off, cut it down. Question for all of you, the people of God. Where does your fruitfulness come from? Is God telling you to bear fruit by your own strengths? No. Listen to Hosea in Hosea 14:8. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. Now listen to this. I am like an evergreen cypress. Green cypress is a tree that never loses its fruit. So God is telling now the people of Israel and all of us this morning, I am your green cypress. From me comes your fruit. That's where your fruit is. But how? Well, the vine dresser said, if no fruit, no repentance, and then you will cut it off. Remember, the owner didn't cut off the plant. But go back to Calvary and remember your Savior on the cross. Remember the owner. Remember the Father taking his axe and cut off his son for your sake. He cut him off. Isaiah 53 tells us he was cut off from the land of the living. And the Father did that on his own begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Why? So that he would become your fruit. He would become your righteousness. Your fruit comes from Jesus. If you are in Christ, you will bear fruit. If you are truly planted in Jesus Christ, in the vine, you will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So this morning, you need to come to Jesus. And how do you bear fruit? Pray. Ask. And it will be given to you. And then you will bear fruit. And then you will be known as true Christ disciple. Use the means of grace that God has given you in his church. Use them by God's grace. Being in Christ and to bear fruit for God's kingdom. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, especially after we heard your word, you are God calling us to bear fruit for you and in your kingdom. Enable us by your grace to respond to the benefits of the gospel that you have given us in this life positively. Help us to bear fruit depending on your grace and on the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to bear fruit, those fruit in Galatians chapter 5. Joy, love, patience, faith, self-control, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Help us to bear those fruit in our life. Not as a way of showing you our own righteousness, but as a way and a sign of our obedience to you. Enable us by your grace to bear much fruit for you, our God, who have planted us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the true vine. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.